dear loving Heavenly Father, in the merit of Jesus, we approach Thee, thankful for the many blessings of this day, for the privilege afforded us of casting aside for a season the things of this world that we may come together in this fashion, for the object of worshiping Thee, endeavoring to do good one to another. Yea, we acknowledge Thee for the blessings of the ministries of Brother Gray and Brother Post and Brother Rawson and Brother Hagensick, all productive of provoking us to love and to good works. Now we seek Thy blessing further this evening. May the Vesper services redound to Thy praise and glory. And as we express our sentiments in song, in words, and particularly as Thou looks into our hearts, we are endeavoring to honor Thy name. Continue to bless us, our fellowship, and we'll give Thee all the praise and thanks in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Abide with me, 'tis eventide. The day is past and gone. The shadows of the evening fall, the night is coming on. Within my heart, a welcome guest, within my home abide. Abide with me, 'tis eventide. Thy walk today with me has made my heart within me burn. And as I commune with thee, thy earnest words have filled my soul and kept me near thy side. Abide with me, 'tis eventide, and love will be the night, for I cannot commune with thee, nor find in thee my light. The darkness of the world I fear would in my home abide. O Savior, stay this night with me. Behold, 'tis eventide. O Savior, stay this night with me. Behold, it's eventide. This is the time for our Vesper service, the time for the evening song, the time when we pull down the shades of night about us and recapitulate upon the experiences of the day, unburden our souls and our hearts, and find the communion sweet and the comfort that releases the burden and the toils of the day. And so we are preparing our heart now for that twilight time when we begin to phase out the busy scenes of life and welcome the depths of the shadows in which we can find refreshment, surcease, and renewal for the following day's tasks. In order to help us achieve this level of entry into evening song, I ask Brother Francis Earle if he would take responsibility for this part of the program. He most willingly consented and said, well, I would like to have my good associate in the spirit and in the faith, Brother Dan Wojak, to help me. And I said, wonderful. And I called him, oh, maybe a week or two ago, and said, well, how are things going, Brother Francis? And there they were with Brother Wojak and Sister Earle and Jeff, and I imagine Karen, too. They're all working together, collaborating on the little program that we have for you tonight. So I know, I just want you to know, as I feel that we are going to be helped by a family consideration of Vespers in the Night. Brother Francis?
Thank you, Brother Luke. With an introduction like that to our Vesper service, I don't think that there's anything that can be added to it. It was absolutely beautiful. You will notice on the front of your program, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Psalms 63:3. And this is going to be the basis upon which we're going to have our Vespers. We're going to do things somewhat a little bit different tonight, and we will guide you on this line as the time approaches. And now, Dan will have a visual. Psalms we see.
Thank you, Brother Earl. As Brother Earl said, the theme of our evening is praise. And to follow that theme, I would like to basically become a traitor to my local area and my partners in the Washington, D.C. area, and talk about New England. As many of you, or some of you may know, we've been in the Washington area 5 years now, but New England has a very special hold on us, and it's just hard to describe. I guess it's when we go there that our hearts are really uplifted by the surroundings in a way that doesn't happen in any place else. You know, there are so many beautiful things in New England, and for us who came from the flatlands in the Midwest, it sometimes all seems like a park. There are the mountains that turn purple in the early evening light, and the mountain streams are a particular delight. Now I'm going to have to get my flashlight on here. Those streams are icy cold, you know, even on the hottest days. And they seem to leap, lashing down the sides of mountains. They meander through meadows. Let's see if we got the right one. All right. They meander through meadows alongside winding country roads. And they plunge into placid crystalline ponds encircled by lush trees. And those birches, those sentinel birches, stand at attention, it seems, along those ancient stone walls. And there are the maple trees that blaze in autumnal glory beside those mountain lakes and over timeless village streets. It seems that everywhere the beauty and perfection of nature's image speaks of one purpose and provides a communion with God. One needs only to step into the open air to see and hear, as it were, the Psalm of Life. In Psalm 66, the fifth verse, we read, "Come and see the works of God." So come with me now through the pages of the Psalms and see the works of our Creator. In Psalms 136, verses 5 through 7, we read, "To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his steadfast love endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endureth forever. To him that made the great lights, for his steadfast love endureth forever." How that theme recurs throughout the Psalms and throughout nature itself. Many of you are probably familiar with Psalms 119, verses 1 to 4. The heavens are telling the glory of God. It's been put to music, but I'd like to read it to you in a paraphrase that goes like this. "How clearly the sky reveals God's glory. How plainly it shows what he has done. Each day announces it to the following day. Each night repeats it to the next. No speech or words are used. No sound is heard. Yet their voice goes out to all the world. Their message reaches the ends of the earth." In Psalm 96:12, we read, and this is returning to New England now from outer space, "Let the fields exult and everything in it, Then shall all the trees of the wood sing for joy. And it often seemed to me as I wandered through those country roads that the trees indeed seemed to sing for joy with that riot of color. In Psalm 104, verses 31 to 32, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, and who touches the hills and they flame. I rather suppose the psalmist had in mind perhaps lightning strikes that occurred then as now, but as I go through New England in the fall, it literally seems to flame. In Psalms 65, 11 to 13, thou crownest the year with thy bounty. The pastures of the wilderness drip. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. Again, we have that theme. They shout and sing together for joy. But the Psalms offer us more than a series of statements about flowers and rocks and trees. They speak of man, too, and his relationship to God. In Psalm 103, verses 15 to 18, we read, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him and his righteousness, to those who keep his covenants and remember to do his commandments. And of course, how could we neglect that Psalm 8, verses 3 through 4, when I look at the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast established. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou dost care for him? As we continue our program at this convention, on the eve of this Thanksgiving Day, may gratitude, that rarest of all virtues, be the spirit of our observance here. Let us not accept the bounty of earth and sky and sea and forget our Creator. Let us not wander in the garden and forget the gardener. Let all lovely things fill us with gladness and lift up our hearts in true thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Now we'll have a reading from reprint 5440, His Loving Kindness, and this will be followed by hymn 19 of the same title.
God has a kindness of nature and disposition. A loving kindness that is general, that goes out, in one sense of the word, to all of his creatures, not only to the intelligent, but to the unintelligent creatures of his hand. He bestows his kindness, his favor, upon the just and the unjust. He sends his sunshine, his rain, upon the good and the evil. But there is a special loving kindness, a special love, which he reserves for those who have lovable qualities of heart, those who have such traits of character as permits him thus to love them, just as every good person loves every other person who is good and noble-hearted. So we, above all other people in the world's history, have a loving kindness of God manifested towards us. We have his exceedingly great and precious promises. We are the recipients of his special love. And the more we appreciate this love, And these gracious promises and bountiful provisions of this grace, the more our hearts respond in gratitude, the more His loving kindness becomes a reality to us, and the more we are ready to lay down our lives in His service. It is thus with Jesus. He preferred the Father's favor above all else. And He, through the Father's arrangements, opened up this new and living way for us, that we, by becoming His disciples, may share with Him God's special loving kindness and matchless promises granted only to those who follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Surely our lips shall praise our God, and not only so, but our pocketbooks, our bank accounts, our influence shall praise Him. All that we have shall praise the Lord, and all that we ever hope to have. Him will be His loving kindness. I think we're going to have some more lights, though. More lights on in the back, please. This is where we're going to deviate a little bit from what we've done in the past. We've got something here that is called Moments of Praise, and we're going to call upon a sister and a brother to give us a 1 to 2 minute testimony of a moment of praise. Sister Alpha, would you be so kind?
I'm very glad to praise the Lord for all of the men that have been praised. I think everything we've seen on the screen and so many areas that we've had in which to praise the Lord, it isn't difficult to praise him at a convention or things are going well. The thing that has impressed me in the past few years, perhaps because of my ease, is in the 50th Psalm where it says that not thrown out into King James. Saw out more of the written Bible where it says, what I want from you is to praise me when things are not going well. And this is an area that I'm sure we all feel a need in. And I find it a lot more difficult to praise him when I'm aggravated, when I'm undergoing difficult problems. I do want to be able to praise him, not only when things are going well, but when things are not seeming to go well, knowing
thank you, Sister Alpha. Brother Norman Zindler, please. We'll get him for you just a minute, Norman. The other way. There you go.
My moment of praise with Psalm 63, 1 to 3, which I was asked to read, is that I am thankful that God did call me out of the world like many of us here have been called out of Babylon, where it was dry, it was a thirsty land, there was no water. And I do, over these past years, appreciate that call, and I am thankful, and I am thankful for his loving kindness in protecting not only me, but all of us from falling, because we are living in a very peculiar time of the age. I am thankful, even though he does protect us from falling, that when we do, that we do have an advocate, and it's Christ Jesus. And his love and kindness that we can call him Father and pray for him. And thankful that he is merciful with us, realizing that he knows we are dust and we are fallen, and how he is helping us in his love and kindness to become sympathetic, that we do not bite and devour one another here in the world, but we learn to be sympathetic with the world before he has instructed us to become sympathetic high priests. And how in his love and kindness that knowing that after we have only made an attempt to crucify the old man in ourselves, can we learn to be sympathetic with our brethren. And these are some of the things in which I appreciate the loving kindness of my Father. His kindness, not only in helping us along these lines, but his loving kindness in giving us all this wonderful truth at the end of the age, how that he has returned and he has sat down and is feeding us this wonderful truth that he gave to that faithful white servant. And how he has not only has given us that, but he is helping us not only to learn the more the doctrinal part of it, but he's helping us to apply it into our life so we might become more of more like Christ, put on Christ, and he's helping us to be living epistle, seen and read of all men. And with the thought of praise, I and I'm sure all of us here are thankful, and we praise him as he helps us in our prayer life. Again, that we can call him Father, and as he helps us to seek first the kingdom, and as we seek more of the Holy Spirit, that we might all, each of us, become more like our Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise him that we can study and understand the truth, and that we can not only learn the doctrine, but again, learn the more devotional part, that we all might be found faithful and dead. And in praise, we thank him for the opportunity to witness. We're living in this country where we go, nobody bothers us, in a sense, as we witness, as we can show forth the praises of him who has called us out of this darkness into this marvelous place. A wonderful opportunity we have at the end of the age. And last, the praise that we have this opportunity to meet like this, where nobody can stop us at the time, and that as we meet, we learn to be kind one to another. We learn not to be bitter, but we learn to be more like the Lord. And we learn to prefer one another as Christ would want us to do. and we learn through the loving kindness of the Lord to esteem each other better than ourselves, because we know that our endeavor is to not only to love God, but to love the truth, but to love each other. And the final statement I have personally is that I was never a kind and gentle person, and it's only through the Lord, and it's only through the truth and my loving brethren that they are helping me become like Christ.
Thank you, Brother Norman. We're going to have a hymn sung by the chorus and vigils, Rejoice and Be Glad, number 247. He's going to sing verses 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7. Had spent a lot of time preparing that. Isn't that beautiful? We're going to have two more little moments of prayer here, moments of praise. Sister Harriet Chimonis, will you give us your testimony, praise?
Blessing to be in a home where each member is consecrated.
have the same desire of serving the Lord and praising the Lord. And it really makes our life so much more joyful that we can share our Christian walk together. And I do want to give the Heavenly Father praise for this. And the other scripture that came to mind is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I want to also give the Heavenly Father praise for all of the promises in the kingdom of God. That we do have a responsibility, but if we do even good again, be more than blessings in that walk. So many blessings we can't even begin to count. And I am so thankful for all of the many benefits of this help in our daily experience. So each of you thank you. A special blessing to me, and I want to praise my Heavenly Father and His dear Son for
you. Thank you, Sister Harriet. Brother Bob Gray, please.
Brother Earl and Brother. It's a privilege to have the opportunity to share a moment of praise. I think back to my very early years living in a home with grandparents who knew the Lord. And the question that was asked me by one of them, which some of you may have heard me express before, was asked when I had looked at a picture of Jesus if I would like Jesus to come and live with me. And of course, as a little child, I thought that was pretty good, and I said, of course, yes. And then it told me that He had to come and live in my heart. Well, as a little child, you don't quite appreciate what that means, and I was very disappointed. But the one who told me that, and the text that we have on this text, the program text, because thy loving kindness is better than life, for my lips shall praise Thee, reminds me of some scriptures that I think fit into the experiences of the one who told me that about Jesus, that gone through in him. One of the scriptures is, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Another one, of course, is the experience that the three Hebrews had, expressing their confidence that they would keep faithful to the Lord, even though He might not deliver them from the fiery furnace. And another one is that we have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. And I think the experience of my grandfather through this last summer and seeing in front of his own eyes, perhaps only for a part of the time, what violence man can do. And yet, I trusting in the Lord, desiring to go home and be with the Lord, was an experience that was something akin to these scriptures. I don't really think that I've experienced the full measure of any of these scriptures. I trust that I'll have the faith to be faithful when such experiences, if such experiences, come my way. And I just trust also that all of you, as well as myself, who will appreciate the loving kindness that is ours, the Lord's gift to us countlessly, that it is indeed better than life, that we can continue to pray for it. We're in difficult distress.
Thank you, Brother Bob. To God be the glory. Hymn will be sung by the chorus with visuals. That's 367 in your book.
Thank you.
have two more moments of praise. Call upon Sister Hummel. Sister Hummel. Ricky Sarasi, please. Brother Richard. Now we're going to hear six readings from Psalms, and Brother Buss is going to read those for me, if you will.
I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord most high. The Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Praise ye the Lord. I will give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Thank you, Brother Buss. We're going to sing one more hymn. And then there will be two readings after that. The hymn we're going to sing, the audience will participate, is 238. 238. Of the world. We'll have that duet now.
Hold on while I try to make a big course correction.
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
hurt? All right. Our effects man is prepared. We will now have Sister Everett read a poem called Footprints. Wait a minute. Stand corrected. I'm going to read Footprints in the Sand, an allegory. One night I had a dream. I dreamed that I was walking alone along the beach with the Lord, and across the sky, scenes from my life flashed before me. From each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me, and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the prints in the sand, and I noticed that many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints in the sand. I also noticed that this happened to be at the lowest and the saddest time in my life. I questioned the Lord about this. Lord, I said, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I had noticed that during the most troublesome times of my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, in times when I needed you the most, you left me. The Lord replied, I would never leave you during your times of trial and suffering. When you saw only one set of footprints, that was when I carried you. Now, Sister Everett will read, Show Me Thy Face.
Show me thy face, one transient dream of loveliness divine, and I shall never think or dream of other love than thine. All other lights will darken the light, all lower glories wane. The beautiful of earth will scarce be beautiful again. Show me thy face, the heaviest cross will then seem light to bear. There will be gain in every loss, and peace with every care. With such life, peace, the years will sleep. Life seems as sweet as blessed. So I have laid my burden down and entered into rest.
Thank you, Sister Everett. Mr. Chairman, we'll turn it back over to you.
I think you'll all agree with me that that was a very fitting nightcap. I want to thank Brother Earl. I want to thank Brother Wojak, Sister Earl, and choristers, and all the others who spent the time to put these thoughts, visual and as well as verbal, together for the peaceable hour that we have spent. Now, brethren, as you go to your temporary abodes, if anyone does not have any accommodations, please let us know as soon as possible. There are ample opportunities available, because there are brethren just eager to have your fellowship for the evening. And so tomorrow morning, by the Lord's grace, after we have given these little flesh of ours opportunity for recuperation, then that spirit and our body shall return together, and in this place we shall once more feed in heavenly pastures. And during the night, dear friends, in our thoughts and in our dreams, our souls shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and our mouths shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. We have much to meditate upon as a result of our communion this day, and we pray that that meditation will abide with us throughout the remainder of our earthly course in life, and ultimately throughout the remainder of our infinity with the Lord. May we now conclude with the use of hymn number Appendix F. Appendix F, at the which Brother Earl will conclude us with a word of prayer. Lead, kindly light.
Bow before thee and say, Heavenly Father, we are so glad. In give thee all due praise and glory. Guide us, direct us in word, thought, and deed, and may all things be done to thy glory. In Jesus' name.